Well, the book of Job, chapter 39, beginning at verse 27, the Lord asked Job about the eagle. Verse 27, doth the eagle mount up at thy command? In other words, God is saying, Job, here's other animals, birds you've considered. I want you to think about the eagle. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we have this command in Scripture, this question to Job to think about the eagle. Lord, may we think about it this morning. But Lord, think about it not with man's wisdom, but think about it scripturally, spiritually. Oh Lord, may we see the Savior this morning. May we be challenged. May we be comforted. Lord, may we know the working of the Holy Spirit among us in our Savior's name. Amen. If you're old enough to remember back some years ago, maybe you can remember what you were doing on July the 20th, 1969. Does it ring a bell? The eagle has landed. One of the greatest statements made in world history. Some of you are looking very blank. Yet, awake back in July the 20th, 1969, one small step and so on, Buzz Aldrin. Man landed on the moon, and the lunar space module had the code name, the Eagle. The Eagle. Of course, you can see why. It's obvious, isn't it? Right from down in Florida, up it went. Up further than any literal eagle has went. It soared into the sky, and it soared all the way to the moon. And there on that date, July the 20th, 1969, it happened, though there's still some people in the world who don't believe it did happen, but I think it did. Some people still believe it was only a fake. But it did happen, as far as I know. They landed there on the moon. And of course they discovered it wasn't made of cheese after all, as some children thought. But what a thing. The eagle has landed. The eagle. It's amazing how the term the eagle has been used in our language and languages around the world. We have sayings in our language. That, of course, has become a famous saying. We talk about someone being eagle-eyed. Means that they have great eyesight. Great eyesight. Far, far-sighted, eagle-eyed. Well, the eagle, as we've been thinking of birds in the Bible, you cannot leave the study without thinking about the eagle, mentioned 34 times in Scripture. Moses wrote about the eagle on more than one occasion. The psalmist wrote about the eagle. We sang Psalm 103 this morning about our youth being renewed like the eagles, because every year the eagle will shed its old feathers, get new feathers, and I suppose in that sense, the people thought of its youth being renewed, and it does live to quite an old age. You think of Proverbs. The writer of Proverbs said a wonderful verse in Proverbs 30:18, the way of an eagle is too wonderful to me. In other words, it's amazing. When I just sit and think about the eagle and look up in the sky and I'm privileged enough to see an eagle, it just baffles me. It's too wonderful for me to take in the wonderful truth about an eagle. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Obadiah, John, our Lord Jesus Christ, they all wrote or spoke about the eagle. So it's a very major reference in Scripture. Now, if you were here last week, we didn't speak on a particular bird as such, but we spoke upon a thought that's often in Scripture, the snare of the fowler, a man who catches birds for a business. The snare, the trap, and how our souls in Psalm 124, we're like a little bird caught in the trap, but God comes and he sets us free. And we fly in the sky singing the song of the soul set free. Well, the interesting thing about an eagle is, it is very rare that an eagle could ever be trapped by the snare of the bird catcher. It's obvious why. Because an eagle doesn't live on the ground, doesn't live on this earth. It very rarely comes down to this earth. Therefore, it's not walking about in this world. Lives above the world. Spiritual lesson there. But let me get into the eagle. First of all, I want us to think of the characteristics of an eagle. And Some of these, if not all, are referred to in Scripture, but obviously if I started to turn to all 34 references to the eagle, you wouldn't have your dinner. So I'll just refer to them quickly. The characteristics of an eagle. They're a wonderful, wonderful study. Here in verse 27 of chapter 39 of Job, God tells or questions Job, "Job, doth the eagle mount up at thy command? Can you tell it what to do?" Of course, the answer is no. It can't. And the implication is here God is saying, "Job, why then are you trying to question me and my providence upon your life? Because my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. And even if I tried to explain them to you, you couldn't understand because you don't even have the power to create an eagle. And you don't have the power to command the eagle to get up off its nest or where to fly. So really, why are you questioning me?" God is asking him. And it's wonderful when you get to chapter 42, if you just turn over briefly to chapter 42. What's the end of these 70-odd questions? Job 42, verse 2. Job then speaks back to the Lord. He answers the Lord. He said, "I know that thou canst do everything. I know that thou canst do everything." And in verse 6, he repents in dust and ashes. Now, he really was a believer, but still he was humbled again. Repented in dust and ashes. "Lord, I know now that thou canst do anything." You see, Job has got to the place where he realizes he doesn't have the answers. And he's not going to be told why these tragedies in his life. And there'll be times in your life when you'll be tempted to say, "Why, Lord, did you allow this? Are you not in control? And Lord, if you are in control, do you not love me? And if you love me, as you say in your word, why have you allowed this to happen in my life?" You will come to a place when you'll think that. Job, when he suffered so much, he's at the place where he has to say, "Lord, I don't know the answer. I wouldn't understand it if you tried to give it to me. But thank God I know the one who has the answer. I know the Lord." That's the most important thing. Job knew the Lord. "I know that my Redeemer liveth. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." He wrote in a different passage. The eagle. But then God describes some of the characteristics of the eagle. I think of the splendor of the eagle. The eagle, you could say, is the king of the birds. Ancient Roman Empire. Of course, the United States of America. Have you ever seen the great seal of the United States? The eagle. Germany, the eagle. Other nations around the world, the eagle. Why? Because of its splendor. Because it's such a magnificent bird. The majesty of it, the glory of it. So free, flying there above everything. But then you think of the sight of the eagle. It refers to that in verse 29. "Her eyes behold afar off." You know, the eagle is tremendous sight. The scientists, and I don't know how they're able to discover this, but they say they can see a little mouse 2 miles away, moving in the brush. They say they can look down over a lake and they can see a fish somewhat under the surface of the water. They say that when it comes down to dive down, its eyes actually change a bit, the structure of the eye some way that is able to counteract the quick descent and so on. Sight is amazing. The sight of an eagle. You ever thought of the strength of an eagle? The scientists say that pound for pound, an eagle's wing is stronger than the wing of a plane. I don't know if that'll give you confidence when you get into a plane or not next time. The strength of the wing of an eagle, and it can suddenly swoop down and snatch up its prey that is pound for pound so heavy. And fly away with it, the strength of the wings of an eagle. It can strike with the force of a rifle bullet. It can break a man's arm in its talons. The strength of an eagle. I want to think about the strength. Its speed. I read that it can dive at 200 miles an hour. Generally, it can just fly, and it doesn't often just fly along. I'll explain that later. 30 miles an hour. But 200 miles an hour coming down. Deuteronomy 28, Moses said, "As swift as the eagle flieth." In Job chapter 9, he said, "My days are swifter than a post." Stephen's not here. I would have said this about the swiftness of the postman. Your letter's ever delayed? Well, actually, the word post there means a post rider. Post was used for someone who rode the horse bringing a message and really going quick. But Job said, my days are faster than a post, they're swifter than an eagle that hasteth to the prey. Another characteristic of an eagle is this, it soars. It soars. What do I mean by that? Some of them in parts of the world, they'll live on high rocks and they just wait. They seem to just sit there if you have binoculars. And all of a sudden, off they go. It's a little bit like these micro-like things you see and so on. You know, you see them coming out of the airport there. And I just look up and say, well, I'm glad I've no desire to do that. But it looks good, doesn't it? Exciting. They're just kind of holding on. They don't even have a seat, some of them, they seem to be. But the eagle just, and the thermals of the wind just carry it up. And it hardly has to flap its wings. It soars. That's what that word means. It's just carried along by the wind. Proverbs 23, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Oh, I could go on giving you the scientific and the ornithologist description of the eagle. There are pages and pages of them in encyclopedias. Amazing study, the eagle. The eagle. The characteristics of an eagle. And to think of it. There are evolutionists are trying to teach our children that the eagle just happened by accident. By blind chance, by luck. My, you need to have a lot of faith to believe that. Of course, we don't believe it. It's nonsense. God created the eagle to do what it does. We've a great God. A great God. Consider the eagle. Consider the eagle. The characteristics. But then I want you to think of this. The whole Bible is about Christ. And if you ever have the opportunity to see an eagle, I know most of it it'll just be in a sort of a zoo place where they're kept. But to see an eagle in its flight, there's something about an eagle that reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ. The very first reference of an eagle in the Bible, maybe you'll want to turn to it if you like, or I'll read it to you, is away over in Exodus chapter 19. So it's always good in references of a particular subject to go to the first reference. Now, Exodus 19, the children of Israel have been redeemed out of Egypt, the blood of the lamb upon the doorpost. They're camped at Mount Sinai. God is about to speak to them the Ten Commandments. They've come through the Red Sea. And in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4, look what God says through Moses. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. First reference to an eagle in the Bible. What's it talking about? Well, you know that the Exodus story, it's the main story of the Old Testament. Jews kept thinking back to that time. It's a wonderful parallel and illustration of the redemption of Christ at Calvary, of his people out of the Egypt of this world. And we keep looking back to that event. And for all eternity, we'll keep looking back to that event and sing about it. Just as the Israelites sang about redemption from Egypt. And here God says, this is how I delivered you from the bondage of Egypt. How I delivered you out of that tyranny. I came like an eagle. Like an eagle that goes, remember, swiftly. And I swooped down, and there you were, captured and held in bondage. And I swooped down, and I destroyed your enemies, the Egyptians and the Red Sea. And I lifted you up as mine. And I carried you away. Why? To be with me. To be with me. Carried you away. Of course, he was leading them to the promised land. They're at the Sinai now, and the Lord's going to appear and speak to them. And that's what the Lord did. This is Christ. The Jehovah who did that in Exodus 19 and verse 4 is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, who is Jehovah Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ is the same Jehovah in the Old Testament. And how were you and I saved? Well, you picture in your mind, and you've seen the eagle just soaring round on the wind, and all of a sudden, 200 miles an hour, we said, down it comes. That's how the Lord saved you. You were in bondage. You were headed for hell. But the Lord Jesus Christ in his grace came quickly like an eagle. And with the strength of the wings of an eagle, he bore you out of the Egypt of this world. And he brought you unto himself. And one day he'll take you up, up, up in the sky as an eagle flies all the way to heaven and home. That's the first reference in the Bible to an eagle's wings. But then I think of another picture of how Christ is like the eagle. For time will not turn to it, but some years ago I remember we preached on Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1. You're introduced to strange creatures called cherubim. And about wheels within wheels within wheels and so on. You remember that? The glory of God. And it said these cherubim had four faces. They had the face of a lion. There's created a being of angels around the throne of God. The face of a lion. The face of an ox. The face of a man. And the face of an eagle. It's a vision. But remember, we turn to the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, John sees around the throne of God in heaven, the holiness of the throne, and what does he see? Four beasts, literally living creatures. And again, you've got the four faces. What's it all about? Well, we pointed out those are created beings. But we pointed out in that sermon some years ago that it's a representation of the Saviour, because they're around the throne of God in heaven, and our Saviour sits on the throne. And they reflect some of the being and perfection of our Saviour. What do we mean? Well, why are there four Gospels? Why four Gospels? They all set forth Christ in what? In his work of salvation. What is his work of salvation? That God the Son came down the earth, took a human body unto himself, lived that perfect life, went all the way to Calvary and shed his blood for us, has gone back to glory. And each of the four Gospels sets forth an aspect of Christ's wonderful person. Number one, the Gospel of Matthew, you see the face of a lion. In other words, all that a lion signifies is the Lord Jesus Christ. How does Matthew begin? Ah, the generations of Jesus the Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David, he's king of the Jews. Where is he that is born king? The parables of the kingdom. You see him at the end of the book. All authority, power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He's the king. You go to Mark's gospel. That's the gospel of the ox. You see, the ox symbolizes service. The ox symbolizes sacrifice. And in Mark's gospel, you do not have a genealogy as you have in Matthew, where traces Christ's human ancestry back to Abraham, the father of the Jews. No, in Mark you don't, because in Mark the key verse is the Son of Man is come not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give his life a ransom for many. He's come to serve, the suffering servant, the ox, sacrifice, blood. You turn to Luke's gospel, Christ's genealogy all the way back to Adam. There's the face of man. For the Son of Man is come. The Son of Man is come. You see Christ in his humanity. But when you come to the John's gospel, you've the eagle. You've the eagle. In fact, John the Apostle in some art and so on is pictured as an eagle. Why? Because John's gospel, there's no genealogy. It just says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's the Lord from heaven. But we think of John's gospel as the eagle. Why? Because it describes Christ that he came from heaven. But like the eagle, he's come down to earth for a reason. The eagle only comes down to this earth for a reason. It's after prey. But thank God Christ came from heaven to carry on the great work of our salvation. What's that? To take those who trust in him back up to heaven. And of course, after what happened after the resurrection, he arose. And then there from Bethany, he ascended up, just as an eagle will fly up into the sky, but he went higher than any eagle. He went all the way, ascended right up to the throne of the majesty on high. The Lord Jesus Christ, when I think of the eagle, I think of our Savior and the work of salvation. But turn to Job 39 again, because I think not only of the characteristics of Christ as the eagle, the one who is the Lord from heaven, but Christian, there are lessons for us as eagles. Christian, you're to be an eagle. Now, why does an eagle of these characteristics dwells on a rock and so on, long sight? Why? Well, God has been describing the horse, other birds. The eagle behaves like this because it was born as an eagle. It has an eagle nature. To be a Christian in the New Testament sense, you need the nature of a Christian. You must be born again. You see, an eagle is not a crow, and it wasn't born as a sparrow, and it wasn't born as a chicken. It was born as an eagle. You say, well, that's obvious, but isn't it worth noting? Christians are like eagles because we've had a new birth. Nicodemus, you must be born again. But you see, because we're eagles, we're born to soar up in the sky. Of course, I have to turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Many of you know it. Isaiah chapter 40, you were born to soar up high. And that up in the sky means fellowship with God. And in the book of Isaiah chapter 40, at the end of the chapter, Isaiah, he speaks about even young men will faint and be weary. But in verse 31 of Isaiah 40, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall change their weakness for the Lord's strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. We've been created in the new creation, born again, to fellowship with the Lord, to soar up into the heavenlies, the experience of close fellowship with God. Although we're met here in a building upon earth, yet even as we come to worship, we're to get up into the sky. Remember I said, the scientists describe it in documentaries, they say an eagle will just sit there, waiting. Waiting. Its muscles are tense. It's just waiting. Now, when I say waiting, it doesn't mean it's sleeping. It's just waiting. It's waiting for what? The wind. Because an eagle, because it has that eagle nature, there's an innate ability, instinct put in its little eagle brain. And it can sense the thermal winds changing. And it's up there, and when the right time comes, it'll just launch itself, because it knows that that thermal wind will begin to carry it up, up, up into the heavens. You do know, don't you, that the word translated wind in the Old Testament is the same word translated spirit. The Holy Spirit, same word, breath, same word, breath, wind, spirit, same word. What's it telling us? A Christian is someone who is a new creation, and you've been created to, as it were, submit to the blessed wind of the Holy Spirit and to be carried into fellowship with Christ. You ever ask somebody, how are you doing? Well, not too bad under the circumstances. I haven't met too many people. Well, I'm doing great because I'm over the circumstances. Most birds, when a storm comes, don't like it. It doesn't bother an eagle. No matter how bad the storm, it doesn't bother an eagle. Because the ornithologist tells us, you know what an eagle does? Just soars over the top of the storm and looks down. You ever been in a plane and you look down, you see the black clouds? It just gets above them. You see, as believers, we are to submit to the currents of the wind of the Holy Spirit, as it were, and get above the mists and the fog. And if we're down on the earth, there's something wrong. Or you see a little bird flapping, flapping, flapping. No, no, no. The bird doesn't. There's only 10% of the eagle's time it ever uses its wings. All it does is puts its wings out and the wind carries it. Oh, listen. When was the last time you could say you soared into God's presence? You enjoyed fellowship with Him. You see, believers, we were not created to cluck with chickens or to trot with turkeys. We're to fly up with eagles. There's a lesson for us. What about the security of the eagle? You see here in our text in Job 39, It talks here about verse 28, she dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock, on the strong place. What's the crag of the rock? That's away at the pinnacle. That's the very pinnacle. It's safe. It's secure. Oh, safe to the rock that is higher than I. My soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. That's where it makes its home. Away, way up in the rock where other predators can't get it. And that is why it is safe from the snare of the fowler we talked about last week. The fowler catches the birds that are down on the ground, but the eagle's up on the rock. You know, our place of safety and security as believers, to dwell with the Lord in the secret place of the Most High. That's where we'll be safe. Oh, you dwell, I can only touch on these things briefly. Look at this where it talks about her eyes in verse 29. Her eyes behold afar off. That expression afar off. If you remember Hebrews 11:13, it talks about the patriarchs and they died and they saw the promises of God afar off. Even as those Old Testament saints came to die, they had a vision. They had eagle-eyed vision that one day there's a city whose builder and maker is God, and there's a heavenly country, and it's my country, it's my home, the Father's land, literally it is in the Greek. The Father's home is over there, and that's where I'm going. They could, like Pilgrim and Pilgrim's Progress, look, they could see the celestial city. Are you eagle-eyed this morning, or have your eyes become dull? You know something interesting about an eagle's eye? It's constantly crying. Well, they don't call it that, the scientists. They say the tear duct is very productive, and continually the eye is moistened. Continually. Oh, as believers, we need moist eyes to keep looking to Christ, to see the unsaved around us, and to see reality. You see, a Christian sees reality. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Aren't you glad it doesn't say here about a chicken? A chicken's only a crowd pleaser. You ever seen a flock of chickens? I know now they're usually kept in big sheds, but if you've been around chickens, and my, they're crowd pleasers. One chicken goes over here and finds a nice juicy grub or a juicy cockroach. Hope that doesn't put you off eggs, but when we kept chickens in New Guinea, they loved the cockroaches. The eggs were lovely, hard, yellow yolks. But anyway, I'll put you off your dinner now. But if you've lived in the farm where they're just running everywhere, the chickens go and the scratch away, and if one chicken finds a nice juicy worm, you know what happens? All the others follow it. And they'll fight over it. Chickens squabble and fight. Isn't that right, you that live in farms? The squabble, the fight. If the feet is, oh, somebody's found something there and away they go. Does not describe the world. Does not describe those who don't know Christ. They seek after anything and everything and they don't know what they're doing. They just follow the crowd. Look at the eagle's strength. I've talked about that, their strength. I thought about that, the strength of the eagle. And you know how it gets the strength? Look at it there, verse 30. Well, because it was born an eagle, that's the main thing. But they suck up blood. And where the slain are, there is she. You know that an eagle eats the prey. Turn with me to John 6, just very quickly as we close, John chapter 6. What makes an eagle strong? Well, an eagle has to eat. And what does Job say it eats? Oh, well, sorry, God said to Job, the blood, the blood. Now, I can't help but see a reference to Christ in that. I can't help it. Because if you turn to John chapter 6 and verse 53, John 6 verse 53, the Lord said to the people, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Now, by the way, that's what you call a finished tense. It's a once for all eating. In other words, you must come and drink and feed. Now, is this talking about a literal taking the body and blood of Christ? Of course not. The Roman Catholic Church says the bread turns into the actual body. Of course not. It's illustrative. It's a picture. As the Lord goes on later and say, the words that I speak unto you, what does it mean? When you eat something, when you drink something, it becomes part of you. You appropriate it. And what the Lord was saying is, look, you people have taken the food, the feeding of the 5,000. This is the next day he's saying this. You took it. It became part of you. You need to take me. You need to feed on me. On me. And when you take Christ, you become his. You're saved. You're saved. The blood speaking of his death. You need to realize Christ's death for you. His shedding of his blood, his giving of his life, and your rest on his finished work. But you see, if you're still here in John 6, look at verse 57. As the living Father has sent me and I live by the Father. Now watch this. So he that, now in our King James this is good because it sets it out. He that eateth, plural, or sorry, continue. See that E-T-H? Yes, Old English for what? Continues. You see, in verse 53, he's saying, to be saved, you have to come and appropriate Calvary, appropriate Christ's blood and his death for you. But if you want to keep fellowshipping and keep being strengthened, day by day, there's a continual feeding upon Christ. Can you see it? There's a continuous action. What do we mean? We're coming to the Lord's table. It's only symbols. But if it's a help to remind us of Christ's death, of Christ's shed blood. And as we think again upon the precious blood that the Savior shed and dwell upon Calvary, that's where we're strengthened in the Christian life. That's where we're strengthened. Andrew Murray, the famous writer, said that once in Switzerland he saw a very sad sight. A great majestic eagle. And there it was sitting, and it had a long chain bolted to a rock, couldn't fly away. He said, how sad, that eagle should have been soaring into the heavens. But then he thought, how sad if a Christian, when they ought to be soaring into fellowship with Christ, they're just like a chicken bound to this earth, scratching around in the things of earth. Oh, if you're a Christian, make sure you're an eagle Christian. Come again and feed upon Christ at the cross. Think of his blood shed for you. Maybe you can't soar because you're not a Christian. You need to come and trust him as your Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the image of an eagle. And Lord, we thank thee that thou hast called we thy people, whom thou hast chosen and brought unto thyself, to be eagle Christians. Oh Lord, give us a desire to soar into fellowship with thee. Remember those who must go. Remember those of us who are able to remain around thy table. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.